Open your Bibles this morning to Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. This is the last of our sermons from this series at Christmas time, Advent in Isaiah, as we look back to these texts that we know from the New Testament. What you'll hear this morning from Isaiah 52, verse 7, you'll also recognize from Romans chapter 10, verse 15. You've heard me preach, you've been here before, you know it was when I was 17 years old that my pastor at my home church in Hearst, Texas, Brother Bill Smith, preached Romans 10, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved, Romans 10, 9 says. And that's the day when I was 17 years old, when I gave my heart to Christ. I trusted Him as my Lord and Savior. So this passage of Scripture from Romans chapter 10 is precious to me. And it goes on to quote there in verse 15, what is verse 7 here from Isaiah. So if you're able, I'd ask you to stand with me in the honor of reading God's Word as we read Isaiah 52, just four verses, verses 7 through 10. Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 10. I read from the New International Version. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Let's pray together. God, we hear that last phrase, that all the ends of the earth will see your salvation. And we know, God, you demonstrate your salvation by your power. But we pray, even today, as we know, and we've just taken up our offering and given special offerings for international missions, and to know that there are still 3,800 people groups around the world that are unreached or unengaged with the gospel. Still fully one-third of the population of this planet. Over 1.7 billion, billion people who have little or no access to the saving message of Jesus Christ. They can't do like me and confess Jesus as Savior and believe that you raised Him from the dead, God, because nobody's there to preach to them. Yet you tell us how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. God, may we bring the people that tell. May we be the people that tell. May we pray for the people that tell. May we give to the people that tell. May we be the ones that tell the story of Jesus. We pray this in His precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you were to go back in time into the circumstances in which this message was first preached by Isaiah, the folks listening to Isaiah may have thought he was a little bit touched in the head, a little bit crazy, a little bit off, not quite all there. Because if they were to look around at their circumstances, they would see that everything contradicted what he was preaching about right here. Their city, Jerusalem, lay in utter ruins. It was a mess. People still in captivity. All kinds of stuff gone wrong. Yet, he preaches about hope. Hope. And if we think about our world today, we can make a case. I mean, I can quote statistics to you, but I don't have to. Just open your eyes. Look at the sort of things you see on TV and in the magazines and the newspaper. The conversations that people have and they just take it for jest. Yet inside, you know it is so wrong. And men of every age have faced that same problem. How can we believe that God reigns, that He is sovereign, that He is king, when we look around and see nothing but ruin and mess and sinfulness? Evil seems to be enthroned. Not God. Not the King of Kings. Not the Lord of Lords. Yet, what does the prophet Isaiah say, the end of verse 7? Your God reigns. Isaiah firmly believed that God reigned no matter the circumstances, and he was here to tell his people as we look at this morning together. Point number one today, what have we got to tell? What have we got to tell? Let's look back in Isaiah and see what he had to tell. He said, how beautiful on the mountains, verse 7, are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. This is talking about a herald, a messenger. You know that in modern day we have what we call marathons. And you know it's called a marathon because a guy ran the distance from Marathon to Athens, which now they've set at 26.2 miles for whatever reason. There's some debate if it should be a little shorter or longer. But he ran as a messenger to bring news to the capital city of Athens. And that happened in ancient Greece was not unlike what would happen here in the ancient Near East with the Israelite people, where a messenger would come from somewhere else, a runner would come, and he would deliver the news of something that was happening. And that's what you see here in verse 7. This is a messenger, a herald, a runner, bringing peace, good tidings, salvation, this news. But the last part, and that application point there, peace, good salvation, and sovereignty. When he says, your God reigns, reign means he has the rule, the authority, the power. It is his kingdom. It's talking about God's sovereignty. And when we look around at our world today, and we say, what is it we've got to tell? These are the things we've got to tell, folks. We can tell of God's peace. We can tell of God's good. We can tell of God's salvation. And we can tell of God's sovereignty. And the next application point, what's it say there? It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus. All the good we can tell about. All the sovereignty we can tell about. All the peace we can offer the world is not from some platitudes I can write or speak. It's not from a greeting card that you can give to somebody. Hey, those things are good. We should do those things. But the ultimate, absolute, comes from the sovereignty of God Almighty that we know in the person of Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus that we've got a story to tell. He is the story to tell. And it's in Him we tell of peace, good tidings, salvation, and sovereignty. Move on to point two on your outline. It asks you a second question. Who is going to tell it? We've got good news to tell, and it's about Jesus. But who is going to tell the good news of Jesus? Look at the progression that you see. Verse 7 we talked about was this herald, this messenger coming in. Notice what it says in verse 8. Listen, you watchmen. Lift up their voices. Shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. You know, Jerusalem was, even though in ruins, a walled city. The walls may not have been fully there, but especially because the walls were in somewhat of a state of disrepair, they'd had watchmen that all night long stood on the wall and watched. All day long stood on the wall and watched off in the distance. You know, Jerusalem was built on a high hill. It provided natural defenses so they could see someone coming from one direction or another. They could see them cresting the next hill before they had to go down the valley and come up so they could prepare their defense. But these watchmen on the wall were there so that when they saw a runner coming, when they saw anyone coming, they could announce to the city what was about to happen. So you see, verse 7 talks to us about the herald, that runner. Verse 8 says, the watchman on the wall. But notice verse 9. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted His people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. There's a progression here from the herald, the runner, one person who comes with the good news, to the watchmen who are on the wall looking out for the city, that they then turn back to the city and they deliver the good news to everyone in the city. That application point there says the messenger, the watchman in the city. The messenger, the watchman in the city. I left the word watchman as a blank for you to fill in, because guess who are the watchmen in modern day America? You are. I'm like the herald. That's my job, right? Dear brother Doug back here called me preacher. I love it when people call me preacher. You hear that a lot in the South. You don't hear that as much up here. But when somebody calls me preacher, because what's my job, right? Preach. Yes, I pastor. Yes, I do all sorts of things. But I love to be called preacher because I love God's word and I love to proclaim it to you. I think you get the idea that I enjoy what I do up here. So I'm the herald. I'm the runner. You all are the watchmen. You all are the ones that have the responsibility for this city of Lincoln. Your neighborhood, your block, your oikos, your household, your sphere of influence, that you then can take the messages you hear here and from God's word as you study it yourself, and you can share it with others, and you can say, watch out, something's coming. You need the salvation of Jesus. You need real life change. That's the who's going to tell. It's you. You are going to tell. That last point on number two says, it's about Jesus. Who's going to tell? Well, you're going to tell. And what are you going to tell about? You're going to tell about Jesus. So we see that progression from the runner to the watchman to the whole city. Point number three on your outline. How are we going to tell it? How are we going to tell it? Well, that's in verse 9. We burst into songs together, you ruins of Jerusalem. There's actually two phrases there in Hebrew, and the NIV doesn't translate it as well as either the King James or the NASB. It's actually, and the application point there, is breaking out and singing joyfully. Breaking out and singing joyfully. Two different verbs in the Hebrew. One for breaking out, like breaking out of captivity. And the other one is singing joyfully. This is the same sort of thing, and I've got to bring a Husker analogy in here to make sure you're paying attention, okay? This is the same sort of thing as, you know, when Rhett Burkhead is in the pile and you're thinking he's going down, and he squirts out, then he runs down the sideline and he scores, and we all go, yeah! You know, then everybody releases their red balloon if it's the first score of the game, right? This is what we're talking about. This is when something happens that's so big that it's a breakout that everybody goes, and then they all cheer, and then we release our red balloon, okay? That's the way we ought to be talking about Jesus. Busting out to tell people about the good news of Jesus and what He's done in our lives and what He can do in their lives to bring the good tidings, to bring peace, to bring salvation, to talk about God's sovereignty with them. That's how we should tell it. The second application point under number three is it's because of Jesus. It's because of Jesus. You see, there's two parts in the end of verse 9. It says, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. But then notice, for the Lord has comforted His people. That, I believe, is speaking about their physical comfort. They were in a mess. They needed help. But the last phrase there in verse 9, He has redeemed Jerusalem. That's spiritual help. That's buying them back from captivity. That's paying the price for their sins. That's about a relationship. That's what God still offers us today. He offers us any and every kind of help we need, and that comes through Jesus. So, what have we got to tell? Who's going to tell it? How are we going to tell it? Number four on your outline. Why do we tell it with such confidence? Why do we tell it with such confidence? Note verse 10. The Lord will lay bare His holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and at the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Now, if I were to remove my jacket, roll up my sleeves, you would not be too impressed. That arm is not holy, much less muscular. Now, if Brian Witt were here, you know, Brian Witt, we could get him with his right arm because his left arm has a nerve damage. But his right arm, man, that guy's right arm is as big as my thigh. I get that guy to roll up his arm. I don't even know if his sleeve would go up past his bicep and his tricep. That is like, you know, pull that up a little bit, okay? Mine doesn't do like that. But there are some dudes that got these guns on them. Now, I'm not talking about just any old dudes with guns. I am talking about the God of the whole universe. And this phrase, and we could go back in the Old Testament. You want to have some fun, go back in the Old Testament and, you know, search through this phrase, lay bare His holy arm. I'm not going to quote you all the other scriptures and situations because we're trying to be brief in our service today, okay? So I'll spare you that. But I looked at it in the study this week, and it was cool where you see this phrase poetically that God lays bare his holy arm. It's like, you know, I'm God and I'm sovereign and I'm here to sweep the deck and make everything okay. This is our God. When our God desires to act, he has the ability to act. And when he does act, people stand up and take notice. Miraculous things happen when our God acts. Why do we have such confidence? And why can we tell it with such confidence? Because we serve a God with sovereign power. Your application point under there says, God will fulfill his salvation. He says it right there, in the sight of all nations, and the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. You see parallel passages of this in Isaiah 45, verse 22 and 23. And there are a few others in Isaiah where this idea of God's salvation to all peoples and all earth. And I sit here today and I'm so thankful to preach something like this as we show a video about Lottie Moon and we think about the ends of the earth and how we might give and how we might pray. Because as I said, sharing God's salvation with every people, every tribe or tongue is not yet accomplished. But God will. God will. God will fulfill his salvation. Your final point there on number four is it's through Jesus. You and I know the rest of the story. You and I know that because of the sinfulness of man, Jesus came and was born as a baby in a manger. And you and I know that he lived a perfect and sinful life. And you and I know that he died a sacrificial death on the cross. And you and I know that it is through Jesus God ultimately demonstrates his salvation. And it is the message of Jesus and his peace and his good tidings and his salvation and his sovereignty that we take to all peoples of all the world. It's this baby. Our December scripture verse, Micah 5:2, reminds us of that. It's a memory verse, so if you've got it committed to memory, don't peek. But if you need to read it because you're a guest here with us or you don't know it yet, read it with me. Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Micah 5:2. Ruler over Israel, ruler over the whole world, creator of the whole world. This is who Jesus is. Your last line on your outline says, Jesus is the story we tell, and God's power is how. Jesus is the story we tell, and the power of God working within us through the Holy Spirit is how we tell it. My prayer for you, my prayer for me, this Christmas season, and as we look now into a new year, is that we would be so filled with God's Holy Spirit that we would overflow with telling the story of Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. As we consider this idea of telling your good news, that we know it is your good news and it is clearly good news. That we can bring a message of peace, of good tidings, of great joy, which will be for all people. That we can bring a message of salvation and a message of your sovereignty, and that it's all about Jesus. So, Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters today that as they come this Christmas day, they would be so strengthened and encouraged by your word and through your Holy Spirit that they could not help but speak to everyone they meet about you and Jesus as the real reason for this season. We pray, Father, that if there's a soul here this morning who needs to trust Jesus as their personal Savior and Lord, that they need to accept your free gift, that they would do that today and come and talk to me and share that decision to make it public so that we all might enjoy and rejoice together. We pray, Father, that if there's a brother or sister here that needs to commit their life to you in any special way as you've called them, that they'd freely do that today. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.